With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know what? We give you such great content. We've had everyone on here from Michael B. Jordan to Ava DuVernay.
Michelle
Yeoh. Yes. We've discovered Henry Golden.
We've had Oscar winners.
We've had Oscar winners.
Emmy winners.
Tony winners. Golden Globe winners.
The least you could do.
There's a rating system, and we would love for you just to click on 5 stars for us and leave a comment. Only if they're nice,
nice
though.
Nice comments.
And you know,
we're very fragile. No, I'm just kidding.
We're very fragile. We're journalists, so we're fragile. But yeah, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Rate us 5 stars.
Tell your friends about this show.
Exactly. Tell your friends. Tell your mom.
Recommend it to everybody.
Sit down with your parents. Listen to this over dinner while you're eating food. You eat dinner. But yeah, please rate us. Give us 5 stars. And leave us a comment or two. It would be very much appreciated. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dina Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka. And for this podcast, we have the director of a film called Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim, guys.
Melina Matsoukas, you guys.
This movie comes out Thanksgiving, so yes. You know what? Eat your turkey and then go watch this movie.
It's with Daniel Kaluuya, who we've all Get Out.
We
all know. He's got nominated for an Oscar for
newcomer, Jodie Turner-Smith.
Turner-Smith.
But Melina, she is an acclaimed music video director.
Grammy winning? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
This is her feature directorial debut.
Yeah.
And it's a solid directorial debut.
It is. It really is.
And ambitious, too.
First of all, the visuals of this film are breathtaking.
If you've seen Melina's work.
Yeah, it falls in line with that. But the visuals are captivating. The acting, the story. It's
very of the now, guys.
Right. And it's definitely something that's gonna cause a conversation because it's a really hard watch. I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah, we can't.
I mean,
there might be.
I had to edit out.
Yeah. We had a couple of spoilers,
still, just to warn you guys, there might be little details that we might have missed. In terms of
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, just in case.
Yeah.
No, minor spoiler alert. There you go. Minor spoiler alert.
But yeah, no, it's I came out.
No, it makes
with so many questions.
You're gonna ask
so
questions.
So many emotions.
But
it's powerful. It's timely.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I wish we could get the lead actress on.
Yeah.
Can we try to work that out?
We'll see what we could do, David. We'll see what we could do.
You guys are.
But anyways, Melina was wonderful. We talk about a lot of stuff.
Yes, all her influences, her love for Hype Williams, who is a legend.
But she'll be following in his footsteps. So, without further ado, here is Melina Matsoukas.
Melina, welcome to Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for doing this.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes.
And obviously, you've directed music videos, TV shows. Now you have a film. But what is your earliest memory of a film or a TV show or anything that sort of gave you the push to get into creative storytelling?
You know, I was just talking to my mother about this.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Yes.
No, I remember. And she didn't remember this, and that's how influential it was as a film. But I remember her showing me Julie Dash's Daughters of the Dust.
Mm.
And I don't know how old I am, and I'm not going to. But I was inspired. Mm. I had never seen, like, this culture, you know, I had never seen black people in that way. Mm-hmm. I loved how it, like, lived in its own space and its own language and was so unapologetic, mm-hmm. and was really intriguing, mm-hmm. you know? And the way she had celebrated blackness and photographed that culture was immense, mm-hmm. and it was such an inspiration. And then to find out I was a female director, I remember that's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, that's real power right there. So that's probably my earliest, I think, film memory beyond, you know, and that really had a strong influence. Mm-hmm. And even now on my artistic vision and goals.
Is that sort of what pushed you or what sort of motivated you to inject culture and all that? And because a lot of your work is sort of cloaked in, like, commentary and culture and everything. Is that what it was?
I mean, not just that film, but I really grew up having a strong affinity for foreign films, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. for culture. You know, I come from I'm a black woman, but I come from a very multicultural family. Mm-hmm. My father is Greek and Jewish. My mother is Jamaican and Cuban.
All that food.
Yeah. The best that my house has. That's also why I really enjoy film and working on food show at the moment. Because it's all about the food when it comes to
that's where my mind was. As soon as you said, I was all, oh,
that's
God.
Why I like all off my plate.
Yeah.
Yes. So I really love culture. Mm-hmm. And my parents are both very politically minded and were very leftist growing up. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with this push to be an activist, right? And to figure out, like, what are you giving back to the world? Mm. Like, you've been given these opportunities and this privilege. How are you going to create change? And what's your activism going to be? And so that was always a value for me. I just never knew what that would be or what my, you know, what my contribution, I guess, to the world would be until college.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with film, and I was like, wow, this is a real way to, like, create change, to entertain, to, like, honor culture and people and, like, represent the unrepresented and give voice to the unheard and to entertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and to, like, just create beautiful art.
Were there certain filmmakers that you sort of looked up to, like, during your early days of...
Yeah, I mean, there's so many and I hate naming. I'm always going to leave some out, but obviously Julie Dash. Pedro Almodovar. You know.
Have you seen Pain and Glory yet?
I'm done. You have. Maybe before I leave here.
Yeah.
They'll send screeners out.
I know it's award season. I'm sure you'll get something soon.
Inarritu is one of my favorite. And Karan and the Mexican gang. And Rodrigo Pietro with his beautiful images. Hype Williams is a huge influence on me. I just got to honor him the other day. At this event where they honored me.
Yeah. So, that's so cool.
They gave me a moderator, and I was like, there would be no one more special than to have Hype. And he came and
that
spoke to me.
So
and then
cool.
I just dedicated my whole, like, award, but I had to dedicate, like, my life. I'm like, I'm standing on this man's shoulders.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be here because he has carved, like, his own singular, like, you know, vision and visual language for such a huge generation.
Yeah, I was about to ask that because it's like Hype Williams is this huge music video director. You're a huge music video. Like, you knew a Hype Williams video.
You did, and you still do.
And Belly, y'all remember, like, making the video. It was like Hype Williams was always the director.
I had those. Yes. VCR. I was taping them. I was, like, going back and forth. You know, like, he really... I say he's the father of modern black cinema.
Yeah.
You know? And
because of Belly, too.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Exactly. Belly is one of my biggest influences just on this film.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see a lot of parallels there. But, like, you know, it also speaks to, like, how our heroes are unsung. You know? And how, like, he doesn't get the credit that he deserves.
He
does.
No, seriously.
Yeah. He defined a generation of music videos.
He defined it. And not just music video. You know?
Or just, like,
maybe because I come from music.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, another form of filmmaking.
Right,
right.
Right,
it's just experimental.
Right.
Exactly. Or you could call it a silent film as music, but, like, how come also music videos are discredited as a, like, proper genre of filmmaking?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it's like you've created so many.
Yes.
You were on the map.
Yes.
But it's filled with work from, like, iconic musicians.
Thank you.
When you kept on doing all these music videos, because it seems like you just kept on doing back to back to back to back. You're like, but how did you keep your vision fresh? And did you feel pressured to always outdo yourself?
Always. Yeah. I think that's just an ongoing pressure that I put upon myself. Mm-hmm. And that I want to. Like, I feel like as an artist, we need to continue to grow and to learn and to challenge ourselves. And that's why I try not to live in one genre. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I didn't think, like, going into the narrative space, I would be a comedic director, and I did Insecure. That was my first, like, foray into television. And coming from Insecure, I was like, okay, now I've done a comedy, I need to do a drama, you know? And then Queen and Slim came, and it was like, okay, this is, you know, it feels true to who I am as, as a person, where I feel like there's all these elements that I need to satisfy who I am as an artist. I think, you know, I'm also somewhat of a clown at times. I'm a drama queen another day. And, like, you know, we have all of these elements, to us, I think, that we need to feed.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to make my work feed all these different parts of who I am as a person and an artist.
Yeah, and I think that's important because especially like in Hollywood, you become known as, this always irritates me, but I bring it up. I remember there was a article, and I won't say where, but it was one of our competitors. They were writing about Malcolm D. Lee. They were writing about Malcolm D. Lee. He had just it was a new movie that he was doing, and the guy was describing him. He's like, Malcolm D. Lee, who's become a big director in the black comedy space.
Right, it's so unfair.
And it was like, that's so diminishing.
Of this man's talent, right?
And even at that, like if it was like a white director, like you wouldn't say he's a big director in a white comedy.
Right.
No. So it's like it's always, I feel like it's always good to, you know, show different sides because there's, you know, Hollywood will quickly like put
silo
you in a box
you.
And,
they will.
Yeah. Silo you and it's like you become this type of director, and if you do anything else, it's like what the hell
especially
are you doing?
If you're from a marginalized community.
Right? Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
They need
the
to
black
like
label.
Put you in a label, right?
Right.
They need to put you in a box to understand you. Because they don't understand so many of us.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I try to fight that as much as possible.
Yeah. You're here.
What was that?
No, I said you're here.
I was like, oh, wait, what? you know, we were talking about Hype Williams. I was just like, oh, it's weird because he did so many videos. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, which one was my favorite?
Do you? Oof, that's hard. That's like losing your baby.
Do you even remember all? You don't remember.
I don't remember.
There's no way to remember all of them
because he
I'm
did
sure,
all
like,
of them.
Yeah.
Like him and Joseph Kahn did a lot. It was that TRL era.
Yeah, Paul Hunter is another huge one. Diane Martel.
Yeah.
I could keep going.
Do you with music videos, because you've done so many of them? Do you think, and you've mentioned this? Do you think that art is kind of lost? Because
It's definitely not lost, but I think that Hollywood looks down upon them.
Yeah.
It's a struggle I had to like actually overcome, even just going from music videos to commercials. Mm-hmm, like you say, they like to put you in a box, right? So now you're a music video director,
and
they don't understand how that can translate to so many different mediums.
Yeah.
And so it's been something I've really had to work at. And I remember in videos, there was I made a really conscious effort to start incorporating narratives into my videos and to really tell a story because I wanted to break into some of these other genres with TV and film. And it was really like with Rihanna's We Found Love. It was like, I'm going to tell a story and I'm going to do it where you understand it and know who these people are and these characters are without them, without having to rely on dialogue.
Yeah.
And I still I feel like I do that with my work now. You know, I like not to have to rely on a script to be able to tell a story and have all the elements that go into creating a film really push that journey forward.
That's what Queen, I mean, like we watched Queen and Slim, and we could like, it was just, there was a lot of different, like you said, a lot of different visual elements that really did. And we talked about this at Contenders, their journey was, there was a purpose behind going from like a cold environment to a warm environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but when you first got that script, what were some of your initial thoughts? And was it, because I think I read somewhere that you weren't initially, were you looking to direct films at that point?
Yes, okay, absolutely. Okay, I have been looking for a film for years.
Okay.
But at the same time, I wasn't in a rush to just take whatever came across my lap because I did have success in other places. And because I always have to be driven by the foundation, and that's what drives me to commit to a project. So when Lena said she was writing a script, she actually was like, oh, will you do it? And I was like, I don't know, let's read it. because I didn't want my relationship to be the driving force, right?
Exactly.
I wanted the script and the foundation to really move me, and it did. It did in every way. Like, I couldn't put that script down. And that's really special. Like, I'm sure you guys read a lot and obviously see a lot.
Right.
And it's the great ones are few and far between. And it just spoke to me in so many ways. I saw myself reflected in pretty much all of those pages. Yesterday, we had I had a screening at the DGA. And another video director I used to work under, Benny Boom, he saw it and he was like, you are so queen and slim. Like, I see you in both of those characters. Uh-huh. I was like, that's exactly right. Yeah. Right? Like, I saw who I was in those pages and in her characters, and that's why I agreed to do the film.
Mm-hmm. And in the film also, it's a different take on police brutality, mm-hmm. And violence, and you know, usually we see it happening to the black person but this time it's sort of the other way around, even though they're still sort of dealing with the repercussions, mm-hmm. of what happened. Was that the film has screened a couple of times, right?
Like, yes. It's,
what sort of reactions have you been getting from, like, early reactions?
Really supportive, okay. Especially in the black community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I remember, I mean, I know my people, so yeah. I remember, yeah. You know, when we made it, some people were like, we'll see what it's gonna be. And I'm like, they're gonna love it. Like, we're always victimized in film, you know, and I think we're just like waiting to not be represented in that way, mm-hmm. where it's like, they're accidental heroes, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't let, mm-hmm. something happen to them. They really take their lives and their fate into their own hands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so, I think, inspiring for people to see on the screen and represented, because we're always victimized. We're
exactly.
always
shot.
It's like another one.
Yeah.
And, it's like another one, and we have to live through that on a daily basis, right? It's like we have to struggle with that trauma.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
You know, so like on screen, like, let's show what happens when this keeps happening to us. Like, you know, what the repercussions of something like this can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been, especially with audiences of color, mm-hmm. like, it's really vocal, the response. It's really supportive.
Right.
The first time I showed the trailer at BET, people cheered.
Right.
Screams, you know? They
even
were
that
like,
first, we saw the first, well, I saw the first 12 minutes at Essence, and I was like, whoa, like, mm-hmm. this is, you could
Which
tell
was
it's
after
gonna,
the, yeah. the killing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, we showed, the first time I showed, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I finished the film, and 3 days later, we showed it at Howard Homecoming, which was the most surreal experience of my life. It was so
were
touching.
You nervous?
I was, but it was so, first off, I felt like I was like a rapper in a rap concert,
because
they're so interactive screening, which I love.
Yeah,
like, it's so nice to see people's reactions to your work in real time, mm-hmm. as you're sitting in the audience. And they're speaking directly to me. And they were so receptive, so supportive, so happy, so sad, so like mad at me at times. They were like, Melina, you know, other times, why'd you do that to
us? Right.
But just like experiencing it with those kids and, you know, with those young adults, it was, I couldn't ask for a better first screening. I don't know if anything has like lived up to that yet. But it was so inspiring. And to have all these people who are like filmmakers, they're young filmmakers, and to see somebody like me, you know, up there, I didn't have that. You know, when I went to film school, like, to have somebody like me in a film like this to look to.
Do you sort of feel, when you're dealing with, obviously, content and a story like this, what sort of responsibility do you feel, or do you feel a lot of pressure to make sure that you don't, I guess,
don't fuck it up.
The black community is obviously that we're very vocal about things that don't really fit our narrative. So do you feel a responsibility? Like, what kind of responsibility?
Yes, I feel a responsibility to live in truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I try to base all my choices as a filmmaker in truth and authenticity.
Yeah.
Because I feel like then there's no failure, right?
Yeah.
You can't deny what's actually happening to us
exactly.
and like what we're surviving. And so, yes, that's the pressure I feel, is to represent us honestly, to represent us truthfully,
mm-hmm.
And to give, you know, some sort of hope in a way.
Yeah. Do you have when it comes to kind of the hard truths,
mm-hmm.
how do you navigate that?
Really, honestly, like I put that trauma into the film.
Yeah, you know?
Like,
definitely.
When people are asking about the inspirations, a lot of them were real YouTube videos.
Mm.
I've watched Sandra Bland be pulled over, you know, probably over 100 times, because I wanted Queen to have some of her in that. And I felt so much relation to Sandra Bland and, you know, Eric Gardner. I've watched that. Like, you know, we can keep naming names, sadly, because the list goes on. But I really base a lot of that in real life.
Yeah.
The picture of Daniel and Jody on that car is like it was iconic before. You know, like, did you frame that? Like,
no, absolutely not.
Because that's like,
I framed it in the film. That obviously speaks.
I mean, that says so much about the film. Yeah, that
there's
one
so much character in that
the
picture.
Film is about legacy. Yeah, you know, and it was also about, like, you know, how black bodies are sometimes celebrated more in death than in life, right? Mm. And how sometimes we become these hashtags or these T-shirts or, you know, a poster on the wall. And so I knew how it was written that it was going to be, you know, an icon. They would be icons, and that would be their legacy. And this photo meant so much. And so I knew Junior was taking it, and I really wanted to also empower a few fellow black artists. And so I brought down 4 different black photographers, not to shoot just that one, but particularly for that film, for that photograph. I chose Andre Wagner, who shoots in black and white, and he shoots docu-style in this, like, Roy de Caraba type way, and his photography is gorgeous, and it's so honest, you know? And so I wanted, obviously, in the film, Junior takes that picture, but I wanted it represented by one of us, and that it was believable to the film, but also, like, believable to their legacy. Mm-hmm. And he understood who they were and translated that into his art and his talent, and that's what we had.
And you know, the story of you know, Queen and Slim, a lot of people are comparing it, or it says so in, like, the log lines, like, Bonnie and Clyde. How do you feel about that?
Not
comparison?
Good. Yeah. You know, I've been trying to argue against it. Yeah. I do not like basing, you know, black films on white archetypes. Mm. I don't feel a need to. I think that there is a huge difference between Queen and Slim and Bonnie and Clyde, in that they're not criminals.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, they're not robbing that life. Absolutely not. Right. Yeah. And they didn't really do anything wrong, you know? Like, they're defending themselves because of what the system has done to them.
Right?
And so I really try to argue against it. Obviously, it's a very simplistic way, I think, to understand, oh, it's this type of film. Right. One of our characters says it,
Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde, plays Uncle Earl, who's tremendous in the film. But yeah, I really try to argue against it, and I try to show, like, how much more dimensional they are as characters and people, and I try to stay away from that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I you do kind of see similarities, but of course, you know, I also thought of other films, but I was like, oh, this is its own thing. Because when Jody was on, I talked about an old movie. There's this movie.
From the 80s.
It's from the 80s. No, but there was this movie called Legend of Billie Jean, which is like hella
80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know this film.
It had the girl who played Supergirl.
The girl who plays Supergirl now?
No. She was also in Secret of My Success. Yeah. And, you know, I thought of also, like, Thelma and Louise.
That was a huge influence on Lena.
Yeah.
I chose really to not watch any of those films because I didn't want them. Yeah. I didn't want to be thinking about them when I was creating this. I stayed away from everything. The film I looked to for primarily the car and how I wanted to shoot those scenes was Y Tu Mamá También.
This
is one of my favorite road movies ever, and just, like, how they chose to approach the shooting of the car. Like, I knew we'd have all these scenes, and I didn't want them to feel repetitive, and I really wanted you to understand the progression of their relationship. And again, going back to my foreign films. But that was another really influential film on me growing up. So I wanted to incorporate some of that.
Yeah.
That and Taxi Driver.
Oh, okay. Okay, Taxi Driver. Well, when I'm watching the film, it, like, looks so, I want to say, I love the way it looked, like, so much that I could taste it.
Thank you.
Especially in the scene when they're frying the fish.
Yeah. You're always back to the food. That's like me, though. I was like, we're going to open this on the catfish.
When they were, I was like, oh, my God.
But that's storytelling. That's visual storytelling. Like, you understand the place and where they are, and what kind of house this is by just that shot of him frying this fish up.
Mm. You went into so much detail with this film.
Yes.
Like, so even, I don't know if this is the spoiler, but even the Queen and Slim, like, I don't know if this is you care to, and we can cut this off.
Not knowing
their real names.
Yeah.
Until that was the end. I cannot take credit for that one. But She wanted them to, and I love this about, that's what one of the things I loved about the film is, like, you don't learn their actual names until the end, because they were supposed to represent kind of all of us.
Yeah.
You know, like, all black women are queens in some way, and obviously Slim is another very general way to, like, you know, honor black men and a way that they greet each other.
Yeah.
And so we wanted these audiences to see themselves and the characters, and again, basing it in reality.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I don't know your name when you're talking to people, and that they get to know each other. We get to understand and know who they are as they get to learn and understand who they are together. You know, we're experiencing it in real time with these characters.
Right.
Because it's like black people don't get to choose, right? Exactly. We don't get to live on and we don't get to like decide if we're going to run to that helicopter or drive over the ledge.
Right.
They take that choice.
We
from
can't
them.
Even turn, like, we can't even turn ourselves in. Like, because
exactly.
You know,
they shoot you down
exactly,
before you're,
able ready.
To do that.
And it's like, I left with,
or even open your mouth to say, I'm innocent. This is not me. You mistaken identity.
I remember we both saw, and I was like, that had so many questions after that film. Like,
no, there was. It was a discusser.
It was.
It's not even a word discusser.
Yeah. I had so many,
well,
like, so
point.
Much emotion.
So I'm glad that it brings about that dialogue.
Yeah.
Because
there was anger. There was sadness.
Right. There was it was questions of right and wrong. Like, you know, there was just so, you were just left with so much afterwards. But for you, did you come out differently from Queen and something when you went in?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, I mean, firstly, it's my first film, you know, and I really feel like I was in a war shooting this film. Like, it was, there was obstacle after obstacle. It was really difficult. And I think it needed to be. I think it had to be because of the stories we were trying to honor, the lives we were trying to honor. It was never going to be a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And filmmaking already is obviously a struggle. So I was challenged, I think, every day. In the shooting of this film, and sometimes I succeeded and sometimes I make it through. But I did have Lena by me the whole time, you know, to really give me that support and empower me in so many different ways. Like, we have a real bond and a sisterhood because I do feel like we lived through a war together.
So, you know, with stories and narratives, you know, about violence against the black community, we've seen plenty of them. Which is fortunate and unfortunate, I guess. But compared, I mean, I know you didn't compare this movie too much, but the narrative is very much there. But how, compared to other TV shows and film that portray violence against the black community, how do you think Queen and Slim frames that differently?
I mean, it shows that we're fighting back, you know, that Queen and Slim are taking their fate into their own hands. It shows the effects of racism in law enforcement and what could happen, you know, in certain cases. It doesn't show us as victims, you know, which I like a lot of these do, which is real, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't, black people want to see a different perspective,
exactly.
You know, and for once we're not victimized. And that we do get to, like, fight back and take control of our destinies. And I think that's probably the biggest separation.
You talked about this film being about legacy, but as for you as a filmmaker, do you think about what kind of legacy you want to leave?
We ask the questions.
That's the hard-hitting
here.
Questions.
Yeah, I'd like to create change. I'd like to be a part of, you know, this dialogue, and even if it's a small part of it, but changing what's wrong to what's right and helping the inequities in this world, you know, like, this is my activism. Like, it's also the way I entertain, but I hope that it really does cause these discussers, as you say.
Discussers.
And this dialogue and creates empathy for our community and some understanding. You know, I hope that people can look at these characters and see themselves in it, no matter what color you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And know that, like, shit has to change.
Right.
You know, like, it's not okay that we're being killed every day.
Right, exactly.
You know, and hopefully a film like this is not as pertinent today.
Yeah.
I mean, in the future, as it is today.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go.
Oh, I was going to say. So, just to, as we wrap up.
This segment.
We like to ask, like, what's next and what do you have coming up that you can talk about?
I have a couple things next, really exciting things.
Can you talk about
it? I can.
Okay.
Oh,
I have
breaking news.
It's been breaking a while.
Okay.
I'm developing.
Yeah.
It's really my passion project. It is one of my favorite books, but probably my favorite book in the last decade. It's a series based on a book called A Brief History of Seven Killings, mm-hmm. written by Marlon James, who was the first West Indian to win a Booker Award. Mm-hmm. It starts in 70s Jamaica, mm-hmm. my favorite like visual time. And is really about the U.S. being scared of the spread of communism through the mm-hmm. West Indies. And so they implanted drugs and guns and gang violence into Jamaica and created terrorists, which they do around the world.
Yeah.
And at the same time, simultaneously, they tried to kill Bob Marley. And there was an assassination attempt on his life because of the unifying power this man had. Mm-hmm. And this is all based on reality. Mm-hmm. So it starts out in 70s Jamaica and then moves to 80s New York, which is another really wonderful time.
Those eras. Birth of hip hop.
Yeah. There it is. And then it goes back to Jamaica. So I'm super excited about that. And I've been working on it for a couple of years, but now it seems to really like be making some real moves. So hopefully next year I'll be in Jamaica and Kingston.
Yes.
Doing a brief history of Seven Killings.
Bring and us then back some beef patties.
Exactly.
We have a lot of people from Jamaican descent.
You guys need to do a food podcast.
No, we always tend to talk about food with our guests.
Right. I love food. Because these two are like huge foodies. Yes. So they
I just eat everything. Yeah. I want cookies and no one
wants. So do I. I've had cookies today. That's why I'm refusing yours.
Right.
And then I'm working on a story about Fela Kuti.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm developing that now. It's a script with Focus.
Yeah, did you see the musical?
Yeah, I saw the musical. There's a documentary about the musical, but I've been in love with Fela and his music.
I admit, I've heard of him, but then watching that musical.
He's tremendous.
Yeah. I was just like,
tremendous. And he was also, a very much a political fighter.
Yes.
You know, and incorporated what we call it, protest art, mm-hmm. with his music. Mm-hmm. You know, he fought back through his art, and it's just fire. It's so good. You can just get lost in his melodies and in his instrumentals. Mm-hmm.
My friend was just played him a couple.
Really?
Yeah, Dwayne.
Yeah.
He just did a
Dwayne classic. The Rock Johnson?
No.
I love that your go to Dwayne. Yeah, there's no other Dwayne.
I know Dwayne
the
Rock.
That was the first one that came to mind. I could play Fella. I'm not really. But
yeah,
anyways.
That'd be odd.
That would be weird.
It's an odd cast.
Wow, Tina. So obviously you've done a lot in this filmmaking, and is there anything that you haven't done yet that you're sort of itching to tackle?
Story wise,
tackle music video, dramas, comedy,
genres.
TV.
I would like to continue to bounce through all the different genres. Mm. I definitely want to do more films, mm-hmm. And television and music. I mean, everything.
Yeah,
to begin with. I'd like to continue to challenge myself to keep growing, to not, repeat anything I've done before, mm-hmm. and to do all types of different things. Maybe an art installation. Mm-hmm. I could do that.
Okay.
I haven't done that.
We're there.
Video installation. and the series. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting to me to be able to create. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
Where I can create and direct and executive produce a series in the foreign land.
Nice.
Well, Melina, we are at the facts, the FAQs.
This is our
fire round. I'm just kidding.
This is just
our random question round. Yeah, they're not really random questions.
Well, these ones we have for you aren't really trash.
Okay. So first question is, what is your favorite movie this year so far, other than
your own?
I haven't seen a lot of films because I've been working on mine. I think what will be my favorite film... is Parasite, but
you've seen it.
I will say I think it's gonna be my favorite. But I will say my other favorite is Honey Boy. I have seen that,
and
it's
Honey Boy,
incredible. Ama Harrell is an incredible, obviously director, and
it had a good opening weekend.
That's my girl. But that film was so powerful, and
it's so interesting.
So much visual storytelling, mm-hmm. and there she is really godsend, and mm-hmm. like. She's killing it.
I need to see that one. And Parasite.
I saw
Atlantics.
Second.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Atlantics.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I did the
but
Q&A.
I'm dying to see it. Oh, have you?
It was good.
Yeah,
it was really.
I'm
and it's
dying
definitely
to
like
see
a
it.
Like especially like for it's definitely a type of film that I haven't seen come out of that like Africa.
Exactly.
So I was all for it.
I'm excited about those.
Yeah. I watched Parasite for the second time this weekend.
I'm so jealous.
And I was like, once you know what happens, then you start paying attention to like these. I think Bong Joon-ho is just
tremendous.
Yeah. I just watched, and the fact that
because I want to talk about when we did our studio at Contenders and he would I would ask him a question in English, he'd answer in Korean.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, that is such a boss move.
It is a boss move.
That is such a
it is a boss
move.
You never knew what he was saying.
But no, yeah. No, like, we had a
translator.
But still, it was
but
just
he
like,
speaks English, right?
He speaks English.
Yeah, but and he was going to make you speak his language.
So he was like, oh, you know what? You guys figured this shit out.
Unapologetic. I love that.
Yeah. And he's like, he doesn't want anybody to like, there's no like dubbing his voice or anything. Like he wants, yeah.
I love him. Yeah. I'm in love with him. Anyways.
Just declare it all.
I know
on the podcast.
You mentioned Julie Dash before, but when was the first time you felt seen in TV and film? And a character, a movie that you were just like, oh, they get me. That's it. They get me.
I would say Denise Huxtable.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
I see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She is who I wanted to be. I'm not as old as Sydney Textable. But yeah, I was like, damn, there's this girl who's just like able to navigate through all these spaces and be herself. Mm-hmm. And some people think it's odd and some people think it's great. And she doesn't give can you curse?
Yeah, you can.
No fucks. Yeah. I love her. And she was so artistic and beautiful. Yeah. And
especially when she really started dressing up during the Cosby Show.
It was great.
I was like, what is
or like
she
when
wearing?
She went away and came back with like with her box and there was no explanation and she cared.
There was one episode, well, of course the Gordon Gartrell one where
of course.
But there was one episode where she just did one half of her face.
Yes, with a pink.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And
like,
then her dad
blood.
Was just like, oh, what are you
what
doing?
What is going on? And she's like, please, Dad. Let me tell you.
Okay. Is there a TV show or film that you love that people would be surprised?
In other words, we're trying to get
right,
you to
like,
name
do you
your
have,
trash
like, guilty pleasure reality
or
show.
Films.
I have one that I... What is that damn film? Well, first off, they wouldn't be surprised, but The Real Housewives of Atlanta is my joint. And then also, my costume designer, who is also one of my best friends, while we were shooting, she put me on to Love After Lockup, which was really good. And
wait,
I'm like, I can't
on?
Get addicted. I don't know.
Like
I buy it on Apple. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
I can't
love
not
After
watch
lock
it.
Up.
You know what? We talked
so
about
So if
this.
You want the trash, that's trash. But then there's some really great shows that I watch. But those probably aren't the
just,
ones that you're looking for.
I'm embarrassed to say I binged Love Island Australia.
That's what I got. Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I took it.
Wait, there's an Australia?
There's an Australia.
I just watched some Love Island. Yeah. I was like, this is also too many episodes.
Yeah,
then I felt
so
like
many.
I couldn't watch the shows I really wanted to watch because
so
I had
many.
To finish Love Island.
I've done three seasons of the UK one. It's a lot. It's like 50 episodes, but I don't know why.
I couldn't even finish the one season. I got far.
All they talk about
and
is
then I was
like
to watch
they don't it's like so I don't know if you watch it all they do is
I'm
like they stay on this island right
it's
so
bad.
They wake
why
up
put, not on my podcast
no they but it's the most like dense not dense but okay it's dense show but it's so it's so interesting though because all they say
is it like a
they have the
study?
Same conversations
yes.
every single time about
they're just
like
laying around in their bathing suits like trying
yes.
to like, mess up each other's relationships
and then at night they'll like put makeup like they'll get dressed up and they'll come out and just talk again really like all they're doing
is they have to find love so
right.
they pick a couple
right.
and then they bring in all these other people to break them
and there's
up, so.
Yeah that's they really do they
see this is they, exactly why I'm scared to watch it
it's so, no you'll get like
you won't be able to look away
no seriously
it's a problem
I'll stick to a great British baking show Terrace House no one really is on board the Terrace House Terrace House is what it's kind of the real world in Japan
okay
it's
Sorry.
So interesting because they're so polite to each other. Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Love Island, they're
but anyways, Love Island. We'll
I mean,
get
if
to...
you have time, like
Real Housewives.
Yeah, so I do Real Housewives too. I do Beverly Hills though.
Atlanta is really
the Atlanta
the top
one. They had this one thing that I didn't like. That's why when Phaedra had they accused Phaedra of date raping. I couldn't watch it after that because I felt like that was planted by like producers and I'm like that's just too much it's taking it too far
I mean like, I stopped watching after she presented She by Sheree and that was a long time ago I was like
oh,
okay
oh
I'm
my
done
God. I hate her
She by Sheree
but I'm like oh good for her I'm done
good for her
okay so you directed millions of music videos but is there one music video that you wish you directed that you saw that you were like, so many.
That I need to think
that
of
you were all
now.
Damn it.
You know, D'Angelo, how does it feel?
Oh my God.
Made by my fellow amazing friend, Paul Hunter. But
oh my gosh.
It's such a beautiful,
that video.
Powerful video, and it's one shot.
Yes.
A couple shots put together to be seemingly one shot. But conceptually, I thought it was so strong.
It's iconic.
It's iconic. Yeah. The song is great. He's an icon. Mm. Yeah, and there's just such beauty in the simplicity. And yeah. I've never been able to do that because I'm always trying to do too much. That's my last name. and so I've always been really, like, jealous of that.
That's approach.
That's era of D'Angelo.
Right. Woo. Whatever happened to D'Angelo?
He came out with a new album.
Yeah. And the Vanguard.
Yeah. But it's like, it didn't have the...
It was
like
incredible.
Kind of the...
You had to get into it.
Well, we'll always remember.
D'Angelo.
We'll always remember that video. So if you can go back and give your teenage self advice, what would it be?
What teenage, like 15,
like 15, like let's maybe say 16.
Shut the fuck up. You don't know it all. You got a lot to learn, girl.
So were you very like,
I still am, very vocal,
like stubborn as a teen. Yeah.
I'm very much who I am now, who I was then.
Are you an only child? Sorry, I'm like,
no, I have an older brother, which is probably why I'm so vocal. Right. Because you had to, like,
I am the young, are you the younger?
Youngest. I'm the baby.
I'm the youngest. You're older.
I have two older ones and one younger.
So I was always like fighting to be heard, because I come from a very loud, we're from New York, loud. And very, smart. So it's like, even if you were wrong, strong and wrong, but you had to speak up to be heard. And that's how I still am.
Mm. Okay. And then our final question, we ask this to all of our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it be an actor, storyteller, writer, producer, creator, who is not in the mainstream that you want to give shine to and let people know about?
Not only let people know, because people know, but Hype Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to honor that man, because there would be no me artistically if there was no him. And I am standing on his shoulders in every way. Like, I want to continue in the legacy that he created. And he really carved, again, like a whole cinematic visual language for an entire generation, not just me, and does not get his just due. And I'm really trying to change that Rotten Tomatoes rating on Belly. So if y'all can help with that. But I'm like, who's judging this?
Yeah.
And it's wrong, because that is a classic film.
I need to revisit
Belly. It's probably white people, honestly.
Please do. Please. It is a masterpiece.
Every time, because remember back in the day when there would be a music video premiere and be all excited.
Yeah, and Belly was that too. It was an event. Like, I remember going, it was like, wow, this is everything I wanted it to be.
Even with like Hype Williams music videos, it would be all Hype Williams.
Yeah, right. Literally.
I was just like, oh my God, this video
and
was going to be
good. And just the way he photographed and like taught us how to celebrate ourselves and our culture and like... be and have our own language and be unapologetic about that, like you talk about Parasite and then doing that, like he did that for us, but because people don't understand it, they discredit it.
Oh
my God,
that's so true. Hype Williams,
come on the podcast.
I'm trying to bring him on out now. I realize he likes to like lay low, but I'm like, if I gotta be out here,
you gotta be out here too.
He needs to have like some sort of resurgence.
I said that to him the other day. I was like, he's my Scorsese, you're my Fincher. Like,
if he would make a 3.5-hour film,
right?
I'd watch it.
Of course. We all would.
3.5-hour music video.
It would be amazing. With all these, I would watch it.
Yes.
Irishman, on the other hand, I'll wait for it.
Right? Again, I'm not part of this podcast. I'll be outside. I didn't say anything.
I don't know this man.
Sorry for this man.
I should have worn my shirt.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
And congrats on the film.
Yes.
Thank you. Delicious. Thanks for making that fun for me.
Yes.
We always do.
I appreciate it.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.